This is Northwest News from KNKX. Somali and Somali-American families in Western Washington face some unique vulnerabilities around child and maternal health. For them, and for the people trying to help them, the pandemic threatens to derail their slow and careful progress. KNKX's Posey Gruner brings us the story.
It's late evening, mid-May 2020, in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis, and Ayan Abdullahi approaches a home in Des Moines, Washington. A woman opens the door. She's in her early 30s, holding a newborn baby.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
And after a short hello on the doorstep, something happens that is at once very normal and, in this moment, very unusual. The woman stands back and welcomes her visitor inside. Abdullahi is a doula. She works with a local organization called Mama Aman. That means safe motherhood in Somali. Mama Aman seeks to close the gap between what Somali mothers need and what our healthcare system provides. It's been supported by the Somali Health Board and the University of Washington. Mona Osman was instrumental in getting the program off the ground. She's a nurse practitioner and a member of the Somali Health Board. She was aware that a lot of Somali women were, in doctor speak, resistant to care. They just weren't going to appointments, and she wanted to know why.
What is the barriers? What's keeping these women from coming back to their, you know, prenatal care? Why are they resistant to the care?
The program got funding from the UW to ask those questions. The answers were important because Somali women, whether in Somalia or in the diaspora, are a high-risk subpopulation for maternal health. Studies have shown that during pregnancy, Somali mothers have higher-than-average rates of hypertension and gestational diabetes. During delivery, Somali women are more likely to experience fetal distress and require emergency C-sections. Their newborns often struggle to adjust in the hours after birth. And postpartum mental health is a concern, too. Many women are refugees who've gone through civil war, are far from their families, and are adjusting to a new culture. Having a newborn baby can sometimes tip them over the edge. Mama Aman wanted to figure out the best way to help, and they decided to ask the community themselves. They started their research by printing up a bunch of questionnaires in Somali. That's when they made their first sort of accidental finding.
We found that 80% of the participant community, they couldn't read or write in their language.
So those documents from their doctors, the ones that had been carefully translated into Somali, those were probably useless too.
We found out that most of those papers go to the garbage.
So that was one barrier. Another was racism. Many of the women they spoke to felt they'd been ignored or insulted in healthcare settings by people who didn't understand their language or culture. Another was distrust. Some of the women they spoke to felt that healthcare organizations just wanted to take things from them. Their information, their blood, their money. But that didn't mean that these mothers didn't want to learn. In fact, Mama Aman found that many of the women were hungry for basic knowledge about what was happening to their babies and their bodies. So Mama Aman designed a series of lessons on maternal health. They hired Somali-speaking doulas to teach the lessons, and they held the classes within the communities where Somali immigrants and refugees live. The lessons included a lot of diagrams, cartoons, and videos.
What is pregnancy? How the symptoms change, how the baby grow up, why are you having nausea?
There were 9 lessons spread over 9 months.
The first month, 2 months actually. We didn't have more than 2-3 participants.
After that, though, word of mouth began to spread.
You know, it's like it became a social outing for them because they don't have that outing when they have 4, 5, 6, 7 kids. So we added a Zumba class at the end of every session of the 4 sessions.
In this social atmosphere, the doulas and the nurses with Mama Aman were able to talk to people, get a sense of what they were dealing with. For the women who were pregnant at the time of the class, Mama Aman offered free doula service, someone like Abdullahi who could be their advocate at the hospital. They also flagged a few mothers who might need extra help after the birth. In those cases, they offered free postpartum doula care. Usually, that meant just checking in on the mom or holding the baby so she could take a shower. But occasionally, says Osman, there were real emergencies.
Like one case, we had this mom that the husband decided to leave her a week before she had the baby, and he cut the phone off. So we got her a phone, and then the baby, after she went home, was crying nonstop. So she called the doula. The doula went and checked on her.
When the baby still wouldn't stop crying, the doula called Osman.
And I asked the doula to take them both to the ER because I thought the baby was having some kind of hyperglycemia or not fed enough.
She was right. The mother hadn't been making milk, and she didn't have any milk at home.
The baby was starving and had low blood sugar.
In their first year, Mama Aman educated over 100 women. Their doulas attended 10 births and helped 8 mothers through the postpartum period. The first cycle of the program ended in early 2020. They held a graduation party on February 16th. 200 people showed up, many of them entirely new faces. Osman was delighted.
I had from every community, you know, we had a civil war. And you can see people from the south, people from the north, people, you know, the Bantu community. It was so beautiful.
They'd been planning to start another 9-month cycle of lessons. But then in March, COVID arrived.
You know, the social distancing and the city shut down.
There are no more drop-in classes. There is definitely no Zumba. Everything is indefinitely on hold. Except, of course, for the babies.
Hi, baby.
And so there is one thing that Mama Aman is still doing. Doula care for new moms, like this one. This client had her baby via C-section on April 25th, near the peak of the COVID-19 curve in Washington. Abdullahi says it can be scary to spend so much time in other people's houses. She tries to avoid it when she can. Sometimes Abdullahi is able to do her job by video chat. She can check in with the mother and ask her how she's sleeping or how the baby is feeding. For some clients, that can be enough. But other times, Abdullahi just has to be there in person. Maybe the mother is all alone. Maybe she has 6 other kids. Maybe the birth was traumatic. Maybe she has postpartum depression. She knows the risks of coronavirus, and she tries to educate her clients about them. But it's hard to be careful in these environments. There are big families in small houses. She doesn't know what precautions they're taking.
I saw sometimes, you know, they're going and coming back with all the gloves or with all masks. So all this, I don't feel comfortable. But in the meantime, I know she needs help.
After they get settled in, they talk over how feeding and sleeping is going. When it starts to get dark outside, Abdullahi offers to stay up with the baby so that the mom can get a few hours of sleep. After a tiny protest, she agrees. Ayan stays awake with the baby for a few hours. She folds a little laundry. And when the mom wakes up around 10, Ayan heads out.
Okay, bye. So, inshallah, markalan ku iman doona doula idaado. Maa salaama, bye-bye.
You can call me anytime, she says, if you need me.
That story from KNKX's Posey Gruner. It was featured on our podcast, Transmission. You can learn more at transmissionpodcast.org or wherever you get your audio.